Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Kara French. We are talking today with Ravis co-founder Derek Magnuson about transformation readiness. We're so glad to have you back with us on the podcast and want to thank you for joining us today. So Derek, obviously, before we get rolling, I always want to get started and ask all of our guests, can you tell us just a little bit about your background and just billing and revenue transformation just in general?
Sure. Thanks, Kara. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
So my career is a tale of two halves, really. So I studied finance and management at the University of Montana. And so the first decade of my career after that, I got into the retail space. And so I learned a ton about business. So I did a lot of management activities. I did multi-unit management, ran a pretty large P&L for a big box retailer. And that was sort of the genesis of my interest in business in general and leading a business, owning a business at some point, which I do today. And so I experienced a lot, got to learn a lot about leadership during that time, learned a lot about the back office processes around accounting and finance. And then, back in the mid 2000, the teens.
It sounds so long ago when you say that. That pains me, Derek.
For sure. And I made a switch over to technology, and it was a bit of a coincidence. And I got in with a company called ATG. And at that time, ATG was doing a lot of billing work, specifically with a vendor called Aria. So at the time that I started, I really didn't have any consulting experience or technology experience. So I just dove in and got really ingrained in the billing space at that time. And over the years in my consulting career, I've worked across five different SaaS billing applications, doing all kinds of different roles. Pretty much any role you could do on a project, I have done it. I've built practice areas for billing practices within the consulting field. And then the last few years, I've been running revenue management for a global SI, Fortune 200 SI. And that role really kind of shaped my viewpoint on revenue management in general. And we had a team that was global, and we were working with very, very large customers with very, very large complex use cases and business challenges that we were solving. After I sort of accomplished what I wanted to in that role, decided to go completely the opposite direction, not work at a big global company and start my own company with three co-founders. And so that's where Ravis was born. And this was just a couple of months back now. So pretty recent. And our focus is on billing primarily. We want to be kind of the world's best billing consultancy. And it's been an honor to work with Billing Platform as a strategic partner. And we love the application, love the team. And yeah, just delighted to be here and get to talk about billing.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like your experience, you've sort of run the gamut of all the different operations, and you've seen billing and approached it from all different sides, which I can imagine would be just really helpful as you're just getting started in the business.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're able to get a different perspective, and you kind of get to understand what each stakeholder in an environment cares about, what they want to get out of a transformation, what are their pain points, what are they trying to achieve. And then it sort of allows you to empathize with them when you're sitting in front of them in a meeting room. You can kind of connect and say, oh, I get why that person is fired up about that specific thing, right? And
yeah,
how it impacts
exactly.
Them and their team. So yeah, it's been great to get that well-rounded view.
So the theme of kind of our talk today, the central theme is we talked about billing modernization and billing readiness. I know you mentioned kind of in your intro there, the back office, you've kind of tied in with that and billing and everything about it, the monetization ecosystem, I think it spans every department. So just kind of for our listeners, from your perspective, why is billing so integral and why does it matter to every aspect of your business, and how do you sort of, when you're thinking about, okay, maybe it's time for a reevaluation of our billing processes, our billing ecosystem, everything like that. How do you sort of foster alignment between all these different groups that billing affects as you're sort of getting started?
Yeah, so it's a great question. So billing is often an afterthought, and it really shouldn't be. And here's why. You have all of these various opportunities to connect with a customer throughout a life cycle, right? So from your commerce and your website to the product experience and going through a quoting process with a customer, you have all these different customer reaction touch points, and they can be perfect and you can do everything right. And they can buy the product and they can love the product. And then by the time you send them a bill that's incorrect, or you charge them double, or you don't charge them at all and then charge them a back bill, you've lost a customer potentially. And so for me, it's really where the rubber hits the road. I'm a fly fisherman. That's my life's passion. And the way I think about this is like, you can have the perfect setup, the perfect water, you know where the fish is, you put your fly right where the fish is, fish comes up to eat it, and you miss, right? And so it all derails at that kind of that last touch point, but a really, really critical touch point. And if you're not prepared and you don't have the right systems in place to be able to execute the way you need to, then your churn could go up pretty quickly. So it's just a critical component to that entire customer life cycle that I don't think, unless you're really, really in depth in the accounting and finance department, maybe you don't think of it that way. You don't think of it as a critical customer interaction point for your business.
Yeah, I've never in my life thought of billing as it relates to fly fishing, but that's a great analogy. I mean, you're right there. You're so close. So what are the metrics? So we're starting to think about this now, right? Like if we're doing billing and we're thinking about how we're going to get started with any sort of, you know, change is hard, right? Like changing the rod and reel is hard. But is that even a rod and reel? Is that still what you call it in fly fishing? I don't know. I'm not a fly fisherwoman. So
yeah.
big fish, big into bass fishing down here where I'm at.
Okay.
But what are the metrics that you're looking at as you're getting started with all of this when you're starting to sort of reevaluate everything sort of in your billing ecosystem?
Yeah. So it's a nuanced answer, right? And some of it certainly depends on the persona of the stakeholder or the folks that are involved in the decision making. It also depends a lot on the stage of the business and what the objectives of the business are.
Right.
In general. So the things you care about as a startup are going to be dramatically different than when you're in steady state and kind of
enterprise level,
low and steady growth.
Yeah.
Right. And that's more control based than it is on the front end of that. You're more concerned about, you know, collecting revenue as fast as possible as a startup, right? So I think it's a combination. It's a bit matrixed, right? So you have to think about like, what is the macro environment? What does the overall business care about? And then you break it down into the different personas. And then you try to find solutions, not just with technology, but processes in general that can check as many boxes as you can across all of the different personas that you're trying to please within the organization. It's challenging, right? Because there's just a lot of different ways that you can approach the work that we do. And you can say, well, let's modernize for the sake of modernizing. It doesn't always work, right? Just because you're putting in the fanciest and newest solution doesn't mean it's right for your business. So you have to really sit down and think hard and spend time to figure out what's important to you, write it down, agree to it as a group. And then that's when you start figuring out, okay, do we have process challenges? Is that what's really driving, you know, our pain points and the needs for a change? Or is it more on the technology side? Or do we just not have the right team in place to execute the things that we have in place today? So there's all these different nuances to that process. It's not simple, but it's achievable if you approach it the right way.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, you were talking about personas. The billing means different things to different people, right? In different departments. Accounting and finance and things like that are going to look at it totally differently than sales, for example.
Sure. Yeah, and there's all these, you know, intangible benefits that you can get to from just a modernization, right? You think about, okay, well, you know, there's all these technical benefits we're going to get, and we can do certain processes faster, we can automate. But as a result of those things, you're actually making the employee experience better. You're making your customer experience better. You're allowing your team to be able to shift focus from the swivel chair activities they do today, the kind of menial, long-running tasks. Think about like all it takes to close the books every month. And if you can start to peel away some of that heartache, if you will, then they can focus on a lot more interesting strategic initiatives that will actually advance the goals of the business. So that's a really critical byproduct of a lot of the work that we do. It's not just about like fine-tuning the diagnostics of the business. There's a lot of other things that can be of benefit when you do one of these programs correctly.
I know we always talk about strategic initiatives, and that's a big buzzword, but I mean, getting, this is a big deal, right? Like you're changing your entire thought process about billing, rev, all of it. You know, getting buy-in essentially is essential from every different group, because you it's not just accounting and finance. It touches every single group that you have. So are there things that sometimes just kind of from the jump, if you will, from the start, cause new billing, you know, initiatives to struggle or just kind of stall dead in the water?
Yeah, I mean, certainly what we've seen in the past is, you know, lack of alignment from the get-go. You mentioned that. I mean, it's critical. It's critical that you get it, but it's hard to get. And here's one of the reasons why is because there's not an equal ROI for every department if you go about this, right? So there will be teams that need to be integrally involved in all of this work that may not see a huge return on that investment for their department. And you still have to get them on board with the common mission and the common goal and explain why. Like, why are we doing this? How does it benefit the greater good for our company and our customers? And that's how you get them on board. If you're really just approaching it as, hey, this is an IT project, everybody get on board. This is where we're doing it. Here's your marching orders, go. You know, you're probably going to struggle. And there's this whole change component that we've seen that's really critical. And if all of your objective is to slam in some new software, maybe put in a few new processes within the business, but you don't train your people, you don't give them the tools and capability that they require and the time that they need to actually go and execute and adopt the software and leverage it to its fullest extent, then you're probably going to struggle to get the results that you're looking for at the macro.
That doesn't mean a long RFP process though, right? Like you want to, you can just sort of make sure you're thinking about things sort of for everybody.
Yeah, the RFP process is difficult. I've been a part of many, many, many cycles from the services side.
And
that is challenging for all parties. I think it's a lot of work for the person, for the company who's putting the RFP out. But you know, I think what's really important is once you've decided that technology is a problem for you and you need to go change the technology to achieve your goals, then I think you do need to do some form of vendor evaluation, right? And that's critical. It doesn't necessarily need to be an RFP, but you really need to understand what it is you're buying, and not only what you're buying, but what's the fabric of the company that you're working with? What does that vendor care about? Do they care about their success? Do they care about yours? You know, and that's a critical piece of it. And, you know, over the years, I've been a part of a lot of different partnerships. I've formed a lot of partnerships. I've built a lot of practice areas with vendor partners. And something that's so critical for an organization that's going to buy or go about a technology investment of this magnitude is the partner relationship with the services company. And if those two things aren't aligned and there isn't a good relationship between the ISV and the SI, then that's also a recipe for not a disaster, but it can certainly cause a little bit more strife. You know, I actually listened to the podcast that Mark Swanholm was on not too long ago, and he talked a lot about just the alignment between partners and the importance of that.
Right.
And I really couldn't agree more. You know, I think if you're evaluating a transformation like this, you need partners that are going to be in the foxhole with you, that are going to care
Absolutely.
About your outcomes just as much as they care about theirs. And so that's a really critical component that I could not overstate how critical it is to understand what that dynamic is. And is there going to be finger pointing, or is there going to be, you know, joining of hands and running after the objectives?
Yeah. And an investment to all work together towards, you know, a common goal with partners, sort of the initial team. I have some notes here that I'm looking at, and we're talking about execution and discipline was the title of the section, which I absolutely love. So I'm like, oh, well, that sounds interesting. But you did mention something here I'd never really considered before in all the podcasts that we've talked about, that there was a temptation to over customize the solution to fit your previous methods of working. I'm like, that's a really great point, you know, because it's evaluating what's worked for you in the past. Okay, what's still working, but what changes do we need to make moving ahead to be successful?
Yeah, one of the least liked phrases in consulting is we want parity. Yeah. And it's tough, right? Because we're creatures of habit and we know what works. It's hard to take ourselves out of that and understand what's possible. And so a lot of times our job as consultants is to bring in the art of the possible. That's an overused phrase as well. But you know, show the path, show what could be done, you know, with this type of work. And so that's really an interesting part of what we do is you kind of unlocking things and getting folks to think differently.
Yeah. So you have this objective overview, sort of, you know, maybe from a consulting perspective, someone that's a little more reviewed, you know, removed. So you've done the RFP, you've done the business use case, you know, you're ready. You're like, okay, we've identified the risks. We've outlined the issues. Let's move forward with implementation. Is there anything that you can sort of identify that's sort of a key to make that work as smoothly as possible? I know it's not perfect, but maybe as smoothly as possible.
Yeah, I think one thing is recognize that it's not going to go perfectly. And you know, everybody's reaction to those moments is important in how you deal with it. And being able to just have open dialogue across all parties involved with a single objective in mind is important. The other thing, you know, I do think that discipline is important, and not just discipline in like the overall program management and managing your SOW and things like that. Those are implicit in a project like that, but discipline and how you are allowing the teams to customize or not customize, right? And if you're buying a piece of packaged software that's meant to do certain things, then what we would generally suggest is try to use best practice. Try to look across your industry, figure out what other industry players are doing in similar use cases, and just not overburden the system that you've just spent a lot of money on, and be flexible with your processes and be willing to change. That's a super critical piece of this. If a lot of these programs fail simply because the organizations are not willing to change.
Right.
Not willing to adapt to new ways of working or new models of monetization. There's so many different things that can occur throughout an engagement, but it's really important to just keep the mission in mind and keep charging.
You mentioned before, we are creatures of habit. So even exploring that you have this different functionality in a system or platform, it's like, well, we don't need that, but you know, you need to consider all the options that you have on the table.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I think there's a challenge in software in general where customers buy software and they only use a small fraction of the capability, right? And part of that is education. Maybe the vendor is not giving them enough tools and you know, overall education to be able to leverage it. But part of it too can be a little bit of stubbornness setting in and saying, hey, we don't need that, or that department doesn't want to use it. And you know, there's also benefit in thinking about consolidation. And so much of what we're seeing in the market right now is vendors, you know, looking at platform plays and being able to do a lot of different things, especially in the quote to cash space. And so if you're in a position where you've got all kinds of disparate systems out there and you have an opportunity to consolidate, bring everything together, have a unified data source and a unified view of the customer, then that's an important thing to consider. And you shouldn't be too stubborn about, you know, peeling off some of those other systems to be able to do that.
And getting the team hands-on early is key, right? I mean, we're talking about adoption across multiple departments and areas. That's like a focus, I would think, as well.
Yeah, I mean, some of the best projects I've been on, you have admins from the customer you're working with in the system from day one, right? Yeah. And they're interested, they want to learn, they want to not only understand why did you build it that way, but what can I do further? You know, show me how to use the platform so when this engagement's done, I can actually do more. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really critical piece. You know, we always see struggles if you go through a whole engagement and a user is not involved at all, and you get to UAT and whoops, missed requirement, didn't design that right, or just full stop, integration's not working. I mean, those are all scenarios that can occur if you don't have users engaged early.
Well, that kind of goes into my next question, which is, you know, how do you identify, you've got this, the new platform, how do you identify what your expected outcomes are and your KPIs and your goals kind of across all of those different departments?
Yeah, I think it does start at the very beginning. Like, we'll kind of go back to the genesis of any of these projects, right? And the hardest part, back to the word discipline, is not losing sight of your North Stars that you set out at the beginning. Now, some of these programs can be multiple years, and they can go through many peaks and valleys and high points and low points, and you can easily lose track of the mission if you're in the thick of it and you just want to be done and you want this program to be over with.
Yeah.
You know, so just keeping a level mindset and making sure that at every, you know, Steerco meeting you have, every executive check-in, you're talking about this engagement. You're reminding yourselves of what it is you set out to accomplish. And then keeping the team honest on reaching those objectives. And if the team starts to deviate, then, you know, you have to peel them back and you have to make sure that they remain objectively focused on the mission in front of them.
Yeah.
Hard to do.
Go ahead.
Hard to do.
Yeah, it is hard to do. I think there's a lot of different in doing all these podcasts and talking to just, you know, we've got partners and people in the RevRec space and people in sort of maybe more the back office. There's just so much alignment that has to happen to craft it in a complex process with lots of unforeseen challenges and a lot of, you know, things that sort of even change over time. I mean, you start the process, you're like, hey, things are going to deviate. I think being prepared to maybe pivot if needed, and getting the team on board with that early is just sort of a key component to sort of long-term success.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
What is so I always like to ask one sort of not off-ball question at the end, but one sort of question that I think encapsulates everything that we've talked about. So what is the real, when we talk about the sausage making, the behind the scenes, what is the real secret sauce to making billing, monetization, all the aspects of it run smoothly for sort of every business at every level, from startups to enterprise level?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is just having a plan, first and foremost. You have to have a plan and a strategy. If you allow your team to just go buy every new widget and fun thing that they want to in the market and pull it in because it's neat or they have a friend that works at the company, you're going to run into a lot of financial trouble, as well as just not a good smooth architecture in general, right? So having that plan up front, sticking to your guns is critical. And then being able to, you said it a minute ago, but being able to be flexible and adaptable and realize that the world changes, right?
Right.
And the needs of the business today will be different than the needs of the business tomorrow. And the software you need today and the processes you need today will likely be different in another 2 quarters.
Exactly.
Right? So you have to be in this like very open to change environment and willing to adapt with the needs of the business. If you have to pivot quickly because one product line is on the decline and you've got new models to get out to market, then you have to be able to be very flexible and shift all of your focus to get the new offering out, right? And if you can't do any of that with speed or efficiency or quality, then, you know, you're going to struggle as a company to stay, you know, up in the top of your space.
And I think too, you know, prioritizing billing and saying, you know, this is something that is going, it just affects every aspect of our business. And making it part of, you know, a key strategy and say something, you know, maybe our market isn't doing so great. How can we invest in ourselves and invest in our strategy with billing?
Yeah, I think thinking about it as a customer-centric application is important and not done enough. I think we talked about it earlier, but, you know, you talk about CX and commerce and CRM, and that's typically what you view as a customer-facing application, but billing is really the heart of all of that. And if that's not functioning correctly, if it's not integrated correctly, then the customer experience suffers. And, you know, the consumers are really smart, and consumers have a lot of options as well.
Yeah, that's the, right? I mean, I feel that on my part, like, oh, you can't handle my billing, or I get to a screen and there's friction of some kind, I'm abandoning the purchase. I mean, I've got other options.
Exactly. I mean, even little things like, hey, I want to buy this thing, but they don't have Apple Pay and I have to put in a credit card. What is that?
Yeah.
I want to do that. Oh. You know, so that cart gets abandoned and on you go to the next thing. So it's really critical to have that and really, really quality experience at the tail end.
I know it started off in B2C, but that sort of way of thinking, I think, has sort of merged into B2B. It's just, you know, kind of a different mindset. And it is funny, before I started working in this space, I never really thought about billing that much. It was just a part of my life that I didn't really think of. And now, you know, looking at it from at an enterprise level, millions of transactions each day, you know, the minutia of it is, it's really a fascinating space. And it's even in the 2 years since I've been at the company, it's evolved. and it's constantly evolving.
Right. Yeah, it is. And it's not going to stop, right? I mean, we've seen a lot of change in the technology space just in the last couple of, even just the last year, with all these AI and large language models and everything that's coming into play. Yeah. So
AI is certainly our buzzword at Billing Platform and things that we're leaning into. Is there something, I mean, you see on the horizon for 2025 that has the potential to just be a game changer in terms of the space?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm interested to see how it plays out. I mean, there's so many point solutions in the market that just do one thing, but they do that one thing really well. Mm-hmm. And what we're thinking about a lot is, well, who are going to be the players that can consolidate,
right?
And you know, can really go tackle a big piece of the back office for right. that customer. You know, there's a lot of vendors in the market that are trying to do that, but you know, it's going to be a race, I think, to see again.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why you mentioned it before. That's why having a great system, but also a great system or platform in place, but also having a great team and great partners around you makes a difference, you know, just with, you know, because there are so many offerings, you've got to really think through that whole purchase.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Derek, it has been so great visiting with you today. I want to thank you for joining us on the Revenue Podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Kara. Appreciate it.
Perfect. Well, you know, it's been great to get your perspectives and insights on all things billing transformation readiness. So we want to thank all of you for joining us today. We've got some super exciting news. I don't know, Derek, if you've seen, Billing Platform has a brand new business website at www.billingplatform.com. Make sure you check out everything we have to offer. There's new podcasts on there, new videos. You're going to want to make sure to check it out. We will be back next month with new podcast topics, new insights, and of course, all new perspectives on everything revenue. Thanks for listening and having your cup of coffee, tea, or whatever makes you happy with us. Cheers.